It is 7:21 at News Talk 760 WJR. Good Wednesday morning to you. I heard about this young man, and I thought, well, this guy's somebody we ought to meet, talk to, find out what he's got going on, because I have a feeling we're going to hear the name Mario Chiesi for years to come, at least if he is half as successful as he is aiming to be, and frankly, already is, with his M. Chiesi Investments. This is the guy who most recently purchased Oakland Mall. And we don't know anything about him, so we're going to learn a lot right now. Mario, hi, this is Paul W. Smith. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for having me.
If I have this right, you're 31 years old.
I am born in 1990. I'll be 32 on June 4th.
And I'm writing down June 4th, 32, 1990. Good for you. And to say that you're different from the average mall owner, I merely have to say, for example, Taubman or Simon. These are, or have been, huge, monstrous organizations and companies. To say that you are not that, I think, is fair. And that's not a put down. I'm just saying you're really starting out, but you're starting out big. You're the generation that's online. And people have been talking about malls as if they kind of are passe. You're going to change that.
We're going to change that. So I would, with respect to Taubman and Simon, and I have individuals that are retired from Taubman that are helping me consult and make the right decisions. I think we're just a modern day version of Taubman. And I've been told by several people that work close to Al Taubman that we are very similar. We just grew up in different generations where he was looking at more retail and I'm looking at more of a virtual connection with my property. And it's hard for a lot of people to understand what we're going to do because the world is changing very quickly. And what we're looking to do is really connect the world virtually as well as physically. And with the mall that we have in Troy, it's a very special project for me. I'm not really looking to get into the mall business, let's just say. I'm more specifically looking at this one this one project, which is Oakland Mall, which we're hoping to rebrand to the Oakland. And we're hoping that our grand reopening will be in spring of 2024. I've surrounded myself with individuals and consultants that I believe we created a great team. And I'm on TikTok teaching the youth. I do business a different way. And we're very excited to service our community.
Well, it's, and here's the thing. You didn't buy a bad mall at like a fire sale. The Oakland Mall is a pretty healthy 90% occupancy rate. You still have the Macy's, JCPenney, Dick's Sporting Goods, and At Home. Hobby Lobby opening later this year. I guess opening in the former Sears store, but you bought that Sears originally, didn't you?
Correct. We bought the Sears property first. We had zero intention to buy the mall. And I actually grew up as a merchant inside the mall with my family. In the late 90s, I was 9 years old, and we didn't have babysitters at that time, so my family would bring me to work with them, and it was fun. I used to go to GameStop and the arcade and roam around, but it gave me a retail eye at an early age. And just like a lot of other people within the community, we stopped going to Oakland Mall for a long time. People that owned it was a pension fund out of California, and the pension fund, they made improvements, but it wasn't significant enough to bring a lot of people back. And when I bought the Sears property, I was treating it as a suburban shopping center. I bought it for $40 a square foot. I had tenants ready to go, 32 acres off the freeway. It wasn't a bad decision. And when we took me back to the site, I'm walking around, and I just seen so much life left in the mall, and it brought me back. I was introduced to the owners because of all the real estate agreements that were entitled and, everything we had to abide by, and started discussing potentially acquiring the mall, and then we ended up buying it. And it's unlike any other project that I've ever done. I believe it's a very special piece of real estate in Metro Detroit. I call it the sleepiest site in Metro Detroit. It's a pin drop in the heart of Metro Detroit, and we're very excited. We have some very exciting plans that we're looking to unveil, adding a lot of food options. And I'm not looking at bringing in national corporations Even though we did sign Hobby Lobby, we did sign Longhorn Steakhouse, those were deals that we made before we bought the mall. Now that we bought the mall, we have our first round of restaurants. And to be quite honest with you, I have over 800 lease requests right now with all the hype that we created behind the mall. And what specifically attracted me to this mall is, A, it's close to my house. I like to buy real estate within an hour. I like to buy real estate within an hour of my house. And second of all, it's for the most part a single-story mall. So if you've ever been to New York, there's like Chelsea Market. If you've ever been to California, there's the Lab. And here in Metro Detroit, I mean, you know what the weather's like. We have 250 days of rough weather. We have what we consider our own city. I've learned, and, you know, it takes a year for me to really learn anything that I buy. I've learned that there's a city of Ferndale, there's a city of Royal Oak, there's a city of Birmingham, and then there's the Oakland. We essentially have our own city, and we're going to create something really special for years to come, and I'm very excited about that.
You expect to rebrand the mall, consider this to be an anti-mall or a mall of the people, a non-elite space in the heart of Metro Detroit, serving the next generation of families, to separate it, it seems, from, for example, the Somerset Collection.
Well, I believe the Somerset Collection, and they complement us very well. So, you know, you go to the Somerset Collection, there's two sides of the property. The Somerset Collection is a collection of big brands. It has all the strong stores in there. There's not too many makers. We live in a Shark Tank culture. You hear about the labor crisis. You hear about all these issues with staff. It's because the world that we live in nowadays with the youth, they don't want to work for anyone anymore. They'd rather DoorDash and work on their own time or go on to some third-party app and do that type of work or create their own product. It's a Shark Tank culture, and that's what we're looking to emphasize on. One of our first retail uses that we're launching is called Maker's Beauty, and it's a 10,000-square-foot version of Ulta Beauty, except for when you walk in the door, it's going to have a big sign that says big brands with a circle and a dash right through it. And that's what we're really emphasizing on, is products that are that have social good, that are minority-owned, that are animal cruelty-free, a lot of times organic, a lot of times vegan, and a lot of times 70% cheaper than branded products because you're not paying for the marketing and the CEO. And it's very important for me to connect with individuals and makers from around the country, which I've already done. And it's going to be completely different. And just to give you an example of how we're different than Somerset, I was at an event and there was one of the individuals from Forbes that was, we were just talking, and there was probably 1,000 people at this event. And if you looked at 1,000 people, there's probably only, you know, you can buy a $10,000 handbag at Somerset. But if you looked at the 1,000 people in the room, maybe 5 people had that type of bag. So my audience is huge, and we're really looking to, I don't want to say capitalize on that, but really attract people. Our motto is you belong here, and we want to emphasize on that. You belong here. Everybody belongs there. You know, we're a mall of the people. We're right in the heart of Metro Detroit, and we really want to emphasize on people.
You know, Mario, this I'm kind of excited. I'm not a maker, but I'm saying that if I'm listening and I'm a maker, you are opening up a world of opportunity to a lot of people who don't have that opportunity. They might go to Eastern Market. They might go any number of places with pop-up shops and stuff. But I'm enjoying what you're saying. Will you make me a promise?
Absolutely.
Will you come on here from time to time, let us know what you're doing? And I think our listeners would be interested.
I when I closed on the mall, most of my comments came and they said that they heard me on your radio station. And to be quite honest with you, I never chimed in because I spent many of my years in Toledo, so I don't listen to much of the radio.
We have to go. I spent a number of years in Toledo, too. We'll compare notes, but we've got to go here at WJR.